Take your Bibles and turn to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. We're going to look at verse 17 to start with as we continue with this, looking at the Holy Spirit, doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And we see Numbers 11:17. Says, and I will come down and talk with thee, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. So this is an anointing for leadership, as with Moses and the 70 elders of Israel. Then we go on and see the anointing for courage. As with Joshua, Joshua was also empowered for leadership and wisdom in Numbers chapter 27 and verse 18. Numbers 27:18, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man whom is the Spirit, and in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him. And if you look anything at Joshua's life, you can see that the Spirit was with him in what God had called him to do. And so we appreciate the reports on Joshua as we've been going through some of that stuff and seeing what God's done through him. And then the anointing for military might, as with Othniel in Judges chapter 3, and verse 10, Judges 3:10. Judges 3:10 says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel, and went out to war, and the Lord delivered Cush. This is one of those nice words, these nice names that I always massacre. Cush and Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed against Cush and Rishathaim. That's probably as close as I'll get it. I've practiced these too, by the way, during the week, trying to make sure I can say these, and some of these long ones are more difficult. And you can go online and you can have them read it to you, and you can listen to how they say it, and depending on where you go, they all say it differently. So which one's right? I had a preacher one time say, you just say it whatever makes sense to you, they're not going to know any different. I said, well, that's possible, but who knows? Aren't you glad we don't have names like that today that you got to try and say? I mean, we got some doozies out there, but this one's quite... I wouldn't want to have to spell this all the time, you know, sign your name and do that, but anyway... And then the anointing for the miraculous power, as with Gideon, and Judges 6, verse 34. Judges 6, 34, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. I like, every time I think of Gideon, I think of Gideon, the mighty man of valor. And you read about where he's hiding out, trying to, but God used him, right? I look at that and I think God can use any of us if we're willing to be moved of the Holy Spirit, right? And be used. And then the anointing for justice, as with Jephthah, Judges 11:29. Judges 11:29. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he passed over unto the children of Ammon. And so we see the anointing as God used him, then the anointing for physical strength. And we, folks, if we're going to have physical strength, we need to get it from the Holy Spirit. We don't, I mean, there's some people that say, I'm just strong and I'm mighty and all. Well, you know what? I can tell you that you may think you're strong and mighty, but have something that puts you down. That's Brother Fred. He's back there shaking his head. There's many of us in the church that have had different issues, and we know it doesn't take long, and we're down. We need that anointing for physical strength. Because if we start thinking we're something, God will take us right down and let us see that we're really nothing. And so we have to be careful, but we do need the anointing for physical strength. And God did that with Samson in Judges 14, verse 6. Judges 14, verse 6, and we're also going to look at verse 19. It says, "And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done." Verse 19, "And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went not up, and he went up to his father's house." Excuse me. We know that story of Samson when he did that. And then Judges chapter 15, verses 14 and 15. Says, "And when he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax, and was burnt with fire, and his bands loose from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith." So we see as God, the anointing of God for physical strength, Samson had great strength, and because God gave it to him. And then the anointing to rule as king and for victory as commander-in-chief of Israel's army, as with Saul. Look at 1 Samuel 10:10. 1 Samuel 10:10. Says, "And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them." We cannot have victory without God. Without God, there is no victory. You know, we look at, in fact, I was talking to some people earlier, and had a guy last week I was talking to, and kept saying, "It looks like we're losing." I said, from a human perspective, it looks like we're losing. But you get on the spiritual perspective of this, and we're winning. You know, people are all focused on what's going on in the world right now. But if you go through the Bible, you'll see that it's lining up with prophecy quite well. These things have to take place. And our faith and trust has to be in God, who gives us the victory. So thank God he gives us that victory. And we may feel like we're not accomplishing anything. We may feel like things are not good. And I've had many people tell me, and these are people who profess to be Christians, tell me, you know, it's just not worth it anymore. When's it worth giving up the fight? I'd say we no longer have to fight once we take our last breath, right? But until, as long as we have breath, it's worth the fight. If we don't fight, who's going to? You know, I've said it many times. Somebody else doesn't exist. I mean, people talk about somebody else. They talk about them. They talk about all these things. But who are they? And why don't they ever show up? They're not going to. So we have to fight. We have to stay in the battle till we take our last breath. And then there's no longer a battle once we're in heaven. It's done. Our battle days are over here. Thank God. Thank God for that. 1 Samuel 11:6 says, "And the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly." But God over and over and over, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God. We've seen over and over and over where the Spirit of God came upon different people, as God has laid out and shown us, for different reasons. And the Spirit of God anointed them for the things that God had called them to do. You know, we think we're in this alone. We're not in this alone. I was talking to, I want to call him a kid, but he's in his 30s. That sounds so bad, you know. I keep thinking, the older I get, the younger they seem. It's like, but in his 30s, God called him to preach. I said, if God didn't call you to preach, you should run away from it, because you're doing it in your strength. But as long as God called you to preach, God's going to give you what you need. The Holy Spirit will anoint you with what you need to be able to preach. And he told me, he said, I still get nervous. I've been preaching since 1999. I still get nervous. People go, you get nervous still? You bet I do. Do you know I'm held accountable for everything I say? Yeah. That's a lot of pressure. And then what a lot of people don't understand is it's a spiritual battle. Every time you get behind the pulpit and you open the Word of God and you preach it, it's a spiritual battle. Satan doesn't want this done. I can't do this without God's strength. He needs to anoint, and then he gets all the glory, honor, and praise, as I've said forever. The anointing for godliness, as with David, in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 13. So far I'm being pretty nice to you, moving right through the, so it's easy for you to find these things, right? 1 Samuel 16 and verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. So David was anointed, and David, the Bible says, was a man after God's own heart. Did David mess up? Oh yeah, David did. And then he tried to fix his mess up with another mess up, right? You can't do that. And when he found out that, what did David do? When confronted, he repented. And that's what we need to do. When we're confronted with our sin, we need to repent. We need to get right. Not try to explain it away, but confess it. Repent. And be restored. David was also empowered to reign, to write scripture and music, and for wisdom and leadership. God used him because David was one that was willing to be used of God. And that's all God's looking for. He's just looking for people that are willing to be used. Not somebody who thinks they're something, but people who don't think they're anything, and that they need God, and that God would do a work in their lives. And so God just wants us to be willing to be used. We just need to be a vessel, willing to be used for God's honor and God's glory. And it's amazing. When we let God do it, it's amazing how well things turn out. When we try to do it, not so much. Not so much. All right. Then we got the anointing for supernatural deliverance and prophetic ministry, as with Elijah in 1 Kings 18. Verses 11 and 12 of 1 Kings 18. 11 and 12 of chapter 18 says, "And now thou sayest, Go, tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth." There's a good thing. Fear the Lord. We should fear the Lord. I get kind of upset with people when they tell, we aren't supposed to fear God. Yes, we are. That's the problem we have in Christian circles today, is we don't fear God. We don't see Him as who He is. We see us as something that we're not. we see God as less than what he is. And we need to reverse that to where we see God for what he is and see us for who we are and realize that he deserves all glory, all honor, and all praise, and that if you're a child of God, you belong to him. Be willing to be used of him. Is there any way to pay God back? No, there isn't. But obedience would be nice as a gesture to show how thankful we are. Just a thought, you know? We should be thankful. And then the anointing for miracles, as with Elisha, in 2 Kings 2, verses 14 and 15. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Then we have the anointing for miracles as with, the anointing for bringing revival as with Azariah in 2 Chronicles 15:1. Says, "And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded." So the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. The anointing for pastoral leadership, as with the high priest Zechariah. And I'll tell you what, if the Holy Spirit hasn't called you to pastoral leadership, I'd say don't try it on your own. I wouldn't want to try it on my own. It's enough with his help. I wouldn't want to try it on my own for sure. In 2 Chronicles 24:20. "And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, Thus saith God, Why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you." People don't like to be told what they're doing wrong, right? And so they didn't like that, but anointing for pastoral leadership. And I thank God for people that God's called to the ministry. We need people. I'd like to see more younger people come up. Who's going to be around to preach the gospel if we don't have more younger people taking on and moving towards that goal of one day taking on churches? I mean, we've got a lot of preachers in independent Baptist circles that are not as young as we once were. We have no idea. And like Brother Moss said last week, one of the preachers down there, he's just barely in his 70s, ended up with COVID and was on his way to the hospital to emergency, and God took him home. He didn't make it to the emergency room. We need people that are coming up that'll take over these pastoral positions and be able to lead the church of God. And so the anointing for physical and moral courage, as with Amasa. In 1 Chronicles 12:18, first, I'm just going to read this instead of turn to it because of time here. But then the Spirit came upon Amasa, who was chief of the captains, and he said, "Thine are we, David, and on thy side, thy son of Jesse. Peace, peace be unto thee, and peace be to thine helpers, for thy God helpeth thee." Then David received them and made them captains of the band. And then anointing for encouragement, as with Jehazaziel, in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 14 and 17, And we'll end with this. It says, then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. We should take that to heart. When we go out in this battle, the Lord will be with us. Now, He's not going to be with us if we're out there doing our own thing, but if we're out there serving the Lord, doing what He's called us to do, He will be with us. We look at this battle and we think, man, this is an uphill battle. We can't ever win this. We are on the victory side. I can't say that enough. We win. You know, I always like it when you read the end of the book because you know how it ends. I've read the end of the book. I know how it ends. We do win. I'm looking forward to that day that old Satan is cast in the lake of fire. I'm just looking forward to that. I'm so tired of him and his messing with people.